happening is a live event with over 60 different speakers with analysis and interviews. And you can also get involved in the chat and talk with us and share your thoughts about this one core question: what is the most important thing that people need to know? So we asked over 60 people and we gathered their responses and we go over it in this show. Be sure to watch the show. Go to the live stream section of this channel, or basically just go to theliberator.us/show, theliberator.us/show. Sign up there. There's a bunch of free resources as well. So be sure to get involved. Do not wait. There's always projects to get involved with. Let this inspire you to, in your local area, find people who are like-minded and create the truth, create real change that needs to happen today for sure. Thank you very much for watching. Go to theliberator.us. This is Corey Endrelot signing out. Knowledge and freedom have a bond that could never be broken. Because knowledge provokes the emotion it takes to put freedom in motion. And freedom has a physical and mental state. And knowledge will allow you to decide the proper route to take. Follow the astrological seams. Navigate through the space scenes. Evade schemes and debate themes. Don't be afraid to challenge conventional thinking, cause that challenge is what evolves your logic and reason, and allows you to acknowledge the treason. 12 jewels. Knowledge of reason, the knowledge of seasons, the knowledge of leaving, the knowledge of breathing, the knowledge of breathing, the knowledge of seasons, the knowledge of bleeding. For that knowledge we bleed it, cause that knowledge is freedom, and with that knowledge we bleed it. Knowledge and freedom, knowledge and freedom. We keep reaching to the light, keep teaching. Precise insights for four seasons. We keep proceeding, we keep breathing. Palmer jewels and releasing. And we do this for the right reasons. Knowledge and freedom. Anyways, let's go to the next clip before our next guest arrives. Let's check it out. Shall we? Should we? Ahmed, are you ready?
Shall. We shall.
All right. Let's check this out. Leslie Powers, who, by the way, is part of the medical project for the trailer that you saw in the beginning of the show. Spoiler. Let's check it out.
What's the most important thing that you need to know? Your life has intrinsic value. And that means that you are valuable just by virtue of being alive. To be alive is both a valuable gift, a gift in itself, and a meaningful opportunity. Knowing this is a vital key to our happiness and to our freedom. Your worth is internal, yet it can and should be shared with others. And your worth is honored by being treated as valuable. We share our value through sharing our time, energy, care, and attention. Sometimes our recognition of someone's value is to leave them alone, to let them make their own choices, to support them while allowing them to be free. To value life is to value freedom. With your opportunity to live on this earth, you have repeated choices, and what you choose matters. What's the most...
Oh, so good. And if you notice, like, I perfectly condensed that into like a minute, but it's just like it's so well wrapped up, like this idea of intrinsic value, right? And saying how you can value someone even by just leaving them alone, by giving them freedom because you allow them to live their own life as they please. So, you know, an interesting way to look at value, because people often look at value in the terms of materialism, or like trying to attain something, like I need this, it gives me value. Not that they have intrinsic value inside of them that they have, you know, but that idea is very empowering when you recognize, wait, I don't need something external from me that gives me value. So Leslie, thank you so much for this message. This is the main message, you know, like I said, I'm going to share with this generation. I think it's the most needed in a world of depression, anxiety, people who are perhaps self-loathing, we talked about before, who don't believe in themselves, who push themselves down, who say they're not good enough, who say that there's other people who've done it all. No, right? We don't have to look at life that way, and we can make our choices wisely. And the way we perceive ourselves, our mentalism, the principle of mentalism, is going to make a difference on the actions that we partake in, not just to ourselves, but to others in the world around us.
Yeah, and I definitely think it's something to consider that, you know, life is your experience, you know, and why ought you take that for granted, right? Why should that be something that you don't seize as an opportunity because, you know, this is what you know you have. So it would seem as though, you know, like that is something that it should just be important to you. That is something that, you know, there's so much within that that you can have. Like, you know, basically the world is your oyster. And it seems like people don't recognize that, especially these days.
Yeah, and it'd be interesting to see how many people see the value inside themselves and how many people put themselves down. And for what reasons do they do that? What are their reasons? I ask people, you know, all throughout my schooling, like, because I say I help people, and I would ask them, say, why do you feel the way that you feel? You know, what is it? And I would get all sorts of silly excuses, and I'd say, that's not true. You know that's not true. Why are you saying that? People put themselves down for all sorts of reasons just so they can find something, but they don't need to put themselves down. They think they have to put themselves down. They think that their position of depression or anxiety is inevitable, that nobody's going to help them escape it, that maybe it's even in the family. It's like, it's crazy the amount of reasons people will give themselves to not like themselves or not like the world that they live in when they can see all those gifts, like Lynn Thompson said about, you know, walking through the graveyard and seeing all these different people. People can see the gifts. It's just if they open their eyes for a moment and maybe even close their eyes for a moment to see it, right? So
just go out in nature. if you feel like that, honestly, like just go traverse nature.
Yeah. There is like that, the common saying, like run and then like eat steak and like certain things like actually increase your stress and depression, like hormones away from its condition. But anyways, so we actually have a special guest coming on. And oh, before I do that, Leslie Powers, her website, alivethrive.life. Be sure to check it out, alivethrive.life. And like I said, she's part of these big projects that we're announcing, so stay tuned. And the guest that we have on happens to know her, and they've done a lot of collaborations together. So I think this is like perfect timing. Derek, you know who you are. And we're going to be inviting on Derek Bartolacelli. I love saying his last name, Bartolacelli, because it's like Italian. Let's see. Can we get Derek in here? I'm going to try it. I'm doing it. There you are.
Oh, okay.
Look at that
background.
I had
it on before in the waiting room, so I figured, all right, what's good, y'all?
Gaming chair there. Look at that. Cool, cool.
I got it for free. Push it up a kilometer hill, literally.
If it's free, it's for me, right?
It's all tatted up.
So, it's not always the case, right? If the government gives you something for free, you don't take it, right?
No, but if the people leave it out and, you know, it's going to...
The people.
Someone else's garbage could be someone else's treasure. To whatever measure, but anyways.
Yeah, well, hey, Derek, how's it going? Let's check out your clip, and Chris, we'll probably go a little bit later for you, if you don't mind, since Derek's here a little bit later. Hope you don't mind.
Sorry, Chris. Tell a man.
You guys are all friends with each other, so I don't think you guys will mind too much. But Chris, if you're mad at me, you can tell me, and you be honest with me.
I'll take the brunt of it, really. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. All right, let's check out your clip here. Let me find it. Give me a second. If you want to introduce yourself for the audience, tell everybody what you're up to.
Yeah, sure. Totally spoiled the beautiful little segue you had for us, you know, following Leslie Powers, my beautiful, wonderful co-host of Dissolving the Divide. And I sent you an email, you know,
yes,
a couple hours ago. All right, if you want to sprinkle in whatever, that's cool.
I will.
Yeah, I'm a... artist, conscious DJ, content creator, vlogger, podcaster, networker, a lot of stuff. And I'm in a lot of groups. One Great Work Warriors with Chris Jansen as well. And the Europa Natural Law crew is more recent because I'm out here in France and, you know, coordinating with a bunch of other folks in the old continent, which is great. And just coming under this wonderful universal thread of natural law that is kind of like that common ground that, you know, I like to reiterate, you know, over and over with Dissolving the Divide as far as, you know, how we can all kind of just relate with this thing that's in operation all the time, no matter what anyone thinks or believes otherwise. You know what I mean?
There you go. All right. Well, I got your clip open, so let's check this out and then we'll talk about it. How about that?
Yeah. Sounds great. Thank you.
Let's do it. Here we go. Derek Bartolacelli, awaken your mind. That's the name of his channel, Awaken Your Mind. He's got several channels now, so we'll try to plug all of them. But here we go.
So, the question. What is the most important thing that you need to know? Well, if we're basing this off of how reality functions and what you have to offer to this world, what you actually have control over in this world, the most important thing you need to know is yourself. That true gnosis and the true integration of your soul and being aligned to your thoughts, emotions, and so your behaviors are more clear and just correct. And yeah, if you don't know yourself, how are you going to love yourself? And how are you going to know your self-worth and all that stuff? So yeah, there's the path towards a true actualization in this world, and it starts from knowing the self.
I thought you'd have figured that out by now.
Self-actualization.
Throwing the effects on there at the end.
Yeah, thank you for doing the editing here. Very cool. I love the charts you also put in here. Knowing thyself. Awesome. So why do you pick this, Derek? Because it's important to know thyself?
Yeah, definitely. And you know, we speak about natural law, and Corey, obviously we know each other, and you know, mm-hmm. I know your forte to a good degree, Mr. Naturosophy, mon ami, mais oui.
Yeah, he's a rapper, guys, you can just tell. He's like, he's throwing rhymes out there all the time.
More of a poet, but yeah. as far as you can throw it. But as far as the Hermetica is concerned, it all goes back to your state of mind. And if, you know, like, so who are we, you know, as far as, you know, your person when you're growing up and developing it, and, you know, how do we understand rights, our own property rights, our own vessel, our own self? So it's kind of like the old sayings, you know, it goes back in all these proverbs and all these things, you know, like, if you don't stand up for yourself, you're going to fall for anything, right? Well, how does one stand up for themselves? How do they know themselves and all these things? So for me, it's an axiom, it's a crux that is so important for people to really get a grasp of. What makes you tick? You know, what is your ancestry like? Have you gone into, you know, your blood, your melanin, your melatonin, and just your hormones? You know, have you been feeling into your metabolism? Does it have the rhythm to, you know, for you to sustain on the causal and effective plane to, you know, operate properly and navigate in this reality? And what do you interact with, what do you consume on that soul food or toxic food and whatever in between, right? Because you know, it's not just, you know, drinking and eating, but also what we pay attention to, what we're spending our time on, you know, what kind of media we're listening to, the music, what are we reading, you know, all these things need to be taken into consideration. And as well as the fact that there's a lot of dark sorcery, if you will, behind a lot of the media and all that stuff, and they be feeding you, that it's, you know, it fucks with the mind a lot. And so if you do not have a proper state of mind, it's going to be easily manipulated and twisted, distorted, and distracted, and all these things, you know?
So how do you then, if you don't mind me asking, achieve that? So you're saying by paying attention to the foods you eat, the information you consume, is that it, right? Now, how do you discern between, I'm sorry if I'm asking very critical questions, but
no,
you,
yeah, no,
yeah. What do you think?
With the food, I don't know if people take the time to, you know, break away from any kind of routine type of things, you know, how many people have gone on a fast, even one day, 3 days, 7 days. I've done up to 33 days.
Wow.
And when you do that, you kind of reset the body a little bit. And when you reintroduce foods, you're starting with like a blank slate. What do you want to try out? How are you going to, you know, I wouldn't say dirty up the palate, but you did a really hardcore palate cleanser, right? So it's kind of getting to know your body on deeper levels. And it's not just, you know, with the food and all that stuff, but how those things interact with yourself as well. You know, we take it to the law of correspondence all the time. Like, the universe is always within you. So that's why it's like all about that gnosis of self. So we can really tap into such a deep well from within. But yeah, it takes a lot of time to, I mean, like, we grow up and we're kind of placed into, you know, the majority of us, education and stuff. So to, you know, just deprogram and re-educate ourselves and all that stuff. But to really step back and, yeah, clear the mind, you know, do your breath work and meditation, whatever works, to whatever degree and whatever technique. There's so many different ways to go about this, right? So finding that discipline and something that works good for you and that clicks and that resonates and something that you recognize, you know, beneficial patterns of, you know, practicing these things. And then you get into more of the mastery of that and maybe take on different aspects. You know, take it to astrology, get your chart read to understand, you know, your natal chart, you know, your sun sign, your moon sign, your ascendant, north and south node, at least first and foremost. So you get a good idea of where you came from, where you're going, and what kind of attributes that you have that are more in the forefront of your psychology, if you will.
Interesting.
You mentioned gnosis. Could you explain that?
Yes, yeah, the Greek word for knowledge, G-N-O-I-J-O-N-S-I-S, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
You know, yeah, so, and I think that reminds me of the thing that was written in, what was it, Hebrew, with the Matrix that I showed in that clip with Neo.
And yeah, yeah.
When you really get to activate yourself more and more and get that self-discovery at deeper levels, and it opens up your heart even wider. It really activates the chakras more and more. And that's, you're living the love story, right? Kind of like the Oracle says, you know, being the one is kind of like being in love. Being able to be completely comfortable in your skin is being in love. And like with Dorian Greene's, she was harking to like the art of life. You know, you have the canvas, you are the author of the book of your life. What, what's writing? Who's in your chapters? Who are the characters? What's the archetype of the day type of thing? You know, you take it to the tarot with all these things because they all matter. They can all correspond and correlate with, you know, the sciences of life, the arts of life, right?
Mm. So if you don't mind me asking, you mentioned like there's specific practices people can do to sort of know thyself. Are there specific practices that you do? And if you'd be willing to share, I don't know if you have anything that you do personally.
It sounded like the fasting was part of that.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. The things I speak on with, you know, that conviction and fire, it's usually because I've had experience, you know, to back that up and all that stuff and recognized and realized a good amount of benefits and introspection behind it all. And just for me, it's about going about life, your daily interactions and your daily thought process and being mindful of these things and taking or the being keeping in mind rather that any situation that life is, you know, presenting to us is an opportunity to learn something and we're gaining experience at the same time and all this, all these other things. And and for me, I got that Aquarian mind, and I can sometimes overanalyze things. And, you know, you have to put what I like to do a lot, rather, you know, speaking from you're asking my own experience and what I what I do a good amount is just try to be the objective observer as far as, you know, what we see, you know, on in reality, in the digital world and what have you. Right.
Sure.
Try to see that from the objective perspective and then the subjective as well and see how we relate to that. And there's that heart-based intelligence that is kind of ineffable. But when you're in tune with that, there's a higher frequency resonance to what you see around and how you feel about certain things and, you know, what you take in. And, you know, you take that back, you can internalize it a little bit, whatever, but take it through the process, even alchemize it. And, yeah, just see for what it is. Is it going to be beneficial? Is it something to be concerned about? Is it something that's going to be divisive as far as, you know, what we see on the whole landscape of the divide and conquer dialectical diasma?
Sure. Yeah. So if you want to, because that goes along the lines of one of the channels you have, Dissolving the Divide, right? So if you want to share all the channels that you run and the different projects that you're up to, the different events maybe you're doing in the future, please lay it out for us and where people can network with you if they want.
Yeah, definitely. Appreciate that, Corey. And yeah, you've been on our show. You rocked it. And in contrary to rocking the vote, which is coming up, you know, talking about that, the politics and all that jazz. But yeah, Dissolving the Divide is a channel that I'm, you know, I take very seriously and to heart with Leslie mm-hmm. Powers. And we have a lot of wonderful guests. We've had, you know, David Rodriguez and a lot of folks that you've had on already on the show.
Yeah.
And John Shadesta. He killed it. And Awaken to Mind, that's been my forte of mixing conscious hip-hop mixes that are kind of in a different format that people aren't quite used to, because I do a lot of sound samples and there's no filler. It's pretty much all killer as far as, you know, killing ignorance and you know, stupidity and all that stuff to get people on the track of streetwise spirituality. And I have 130 mixes that I produced over the past dozen years, actually.
Yeah, that's incredible. Yeah, you're the man to go to for truth music. Whenever I need truth music, I go right to your channel. Awaken your mind, everybody.
Respects to Joe Murray, though, because he's got a lot of dope music. He's in the One Great Work Network and all that.
Yeah, there's a lot of other folks, but I always remember you. You're always the first one that comes to mind. It's because I know you. But hey, I'm always welcome to connect with anybody else, man. I'm always down. Thank you so much for what you're doing, and I appreciate both you and Leslie. You guys are both awesome, and I don't know if Leslie told you anything about our medical project that we've been working on.
Yeah. Looking forward to that. I'm happy for you guys. Like,
yes. Well, we're gonna want to invite everybody else to collaborate as well as time moves forward with that. So, you know, I got together with some of the best people for that project to start the foundation. And then I think we can carry that out and really bring on so many different people, experts of all different kinds. So, yeah, thank you so much, Derek, for joining us on the show.
Yeah, Ahmed, nice to meet your acquaintance. And, Chris Jansen on deck.
Love there we go.
Brother, so, yeah.
That's yeah, me as well.
We can switch over to Chris Jansen. Chris Jansen's so patient, man. He's so cool. All right, I'm going to bring Chris over. Let's see. Hope there's no feedback. There might be a little feedback. We'll find out. Hey, Chris.
Hey.
Hey, there he is.
How's it going?
Right on.
Chris Jansen, the man, the myth, the legend. How's it going, man? Are you going to put on your camera or no? You don't have to. It's up to you.
I would like to.
Okay, go ahead. I'd love to see you.
You're
doing
a lot of great
projects. A lot of great things going on. Roundtable discussions you're always doing. I always appreciate that. You know, we had a lot of that going on a couple of years back when the One Great Work Network founded, and I think you've been holding it pretty strong. So, good job, you know, keeping at it. The natural law discussions, and I appreciate that.
Oh, there we go. Got the camera on.
Nice. And it looks like you got like a new camera or something, you know? Your production.
Actually,
This
is a really old camera, and I've been asking my listeners, like, somebody donate a couple bucks so I can get a new camera, because I got this old USB one, but I'm making it work, man.
No, dude, it looks
thanks
great.
To Mark Passio's help with technology a few years ago, and I keep going back to his True Media class and picking up little tips on how to, you know, I'm using OBS. It's a pretty awesome tool for content creators, you know, and trying to always exercise the skills to help that make things more exciting and aesthetic and such.
Awesome. Yeah, I love your whole aesthetic because it's much like mine, you know, the tree and nature. So
yeah.
I think we vibe on that. You know, Chris, I think you were one of the first people I networked with too, like a couple years ago, right? Like one of the first people I would say, like before the network even existed, the One Great Work Network. I think we were in touch before then, and we were like kind of creating our own network before then, you know, just with the people that we had in the scene. And boy, was I new to a lot of content creation and connections and so forth. But yeah, it was like you, it was Mitch.
It was, True Media roundtables we were doing. Remember those?
Yeah.
With Will. Those were great.
Great stuff. Yeah, and anybody's welcome. I mean, this community is really, really awesome, like the natural law community. And I'm so glad to meet other communities now, too, like the permaculture community, these common law communities. You know, I still, to political groups around here, I mean, there's people everywhere who just have good intentions. They care about the world. And maybe people have different ways of going about changing that world. But over time, just by sharing new ideas and bringing it to light, so many conversations happen and people start saying, huh. You know, maybe politics isn't the solution. Maybe we have to look inward for the solution. Maybe we have to own mindset upon the world we live in rather than always taking things from other people, religions, cultures, governments.
Yeah, Cole's audio cut out
for me. Okay, yeah, I noticed that too. I'm like,
sorry, the big three that, you know, that the culture and all the things that control us that Logan Hart was talking about. That's what I was mentioning. So anyways, let's check out your clip, if you don't mind, and then we can talk about
right
it.
Right on.
All right.
Sounds good.
Let's do it. I got it up here. And I titled this clip, It's Up to You to Change the World. But let's hear it from Chris. You even edited this, so really cool edits here, Chris. And, of course, I also made it somewhat horizontal in a vertical format, just so it could be TikTok cool. and Instagram and all the major again. Platforms. But yeah.
Something with that mic, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to keep switching back and forth. I'm sorry about that. On the stream, they hear me, though. That's the important part. All right.
Oh, good.
Let's go. Let's watch it.
I would say the very most important thing that I would like people to recognize is that we each have a personal connection to the divine spark of creation, to that which created all. And we are co-creators in this reality. And everything we do, everything we think, everything we say matters. And it affects the outcome in cause and effect in the future of our lives and all those lives of those around us. As once we get past our own personal self-work and dealing with our own emotional traumas, there's a greater joy and passion in life is to work on and discover why we're here and what we can do with this amazing and beautiful, wonderful time that we have here. Time is of the essence. We're lucky to have it, and we got to make the most of it, of using our abilities and our talents to work towards a better future, not just for ourselves, but for everything and all. What better thing could we do with our time? I would say
what better thing could we do with our time than to focus on, you know, ourselves and our actions and to use our abilities and our talents. I love this, Chris. This is great.
Well, I love your question. You know, what is the most important thing is a question I started asking when I was like 11, 12 years old. I started surveying everyone I knew and asking them, hey, what's the most important thing in life? You know? And what was amazing is most people would come back with success, money, or family. And I most understood the family answer. You know, I'm a very loyal type person. When I care about people, I really care about them, you know, and I want to stick with them. But really, ultimately, it's deeper than that. And every time I've tried to do a presentation, I try to like really strategize, like, what's the most important point to make in the beginning? You know, and when I wanted to make a series of videos, I'm like, where do I start? And what I realized is something you guys were just touching on with Derek is that this is amazing. You know, this ability to be alive.
Yeah.
It's like a fantastic, the whole universe, you know, has been working on this creation process for millennia, eons. And we're like the newest version of human beings, the newest technology, the newest organic technology that's out there, you know, and we're getting to drive nature's, you know, 5.0 version of life. And that is very valuable. It's amazing. It takes thousands of years for a beach to form, you know? Yeah. And here we are, and you can move the sand around. You know, you can change things here. You can affect things. And what I see happening in the public largely is authoritarian systems. You know, like Logan's mind control, systems of mind control have indoctrinated people to the point when they're very numb. And I think what it does is it starts to put a cap on our value. And we know things like there's bomb that could destroy the whole world, or there's governments that, you know, have all this power and there's so many people, the world's overpopulated, supposedly. It gives you this feeling of being very small and not very important. And what I really want to do with my words and my time here on the stage is to tell people, you are very important. In fact, you are the most important. You're God, seeing God's self. And this is your opportunity to affect and change and be part of reality. And one of your speakers said we're deacons of nature, and I really appreciate that too. I think for me, that's why I'm here. Yeah. And I can't tell you, the listener, why you're here, but deep down inside of yourself, there's a connection to the great all, to reality itself. And if you spend some time meditating there, as Derek said, learning to know thyself, that will start to emerge and a path will form for you. And when you're going on that path, life is better. Not just for you, but everyone else, because you're working towards something that is in line with what nature does, which is grow and generate, rather than being part of this destructive force. And evil, as I put it, is the destruction of freedom. That comes from the book, The End of All Evil by Jeremy Locke. So, yeah, thanks for sharing my clip. Appreciate it.
Beautiful. I absolutely love it. And what could be a greater message for this concept of self-ownership than self-value? You know, it's like recognizing I have the power to change my reality. I can change my actions, my belief systems, and that will change the world, ultimately. You know, you want to change the world, you want to make a difference. It's like, let's start with ourselves here. And, you know, you want to tell people how to live their own lives. Like, let's start with our own lives. Like what about us? Are we setting the example to others, right? Through our actions, through our beliefs. I love this. So many different facets. Ahmed, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think you guys pretty much got it there.
Yeah, trauma, dealing, you know, doing self-work, also known as like shadow work, you know, affecting the outcome through cause and effect. Everything we say and do matters. I mentioned that before, how like some people might have like a paranoia, but then like you mentioned, like we can meditate and we can kind of be present, and that will help us sort of reflect on what actions and belief systems that we partake in.
And actually, I was just going to mention that, you know, we talked about insecurity earlier and how, you know, the mind's a very powerful thing. You know, that's kind of been a running theme here as well, that, you know, you influence your own outcomes. Definitely. Like your mindset is influenced by what you believe. And from there, that influences what you're doing. So, I mean, even not even looking from how you're influencing others to do things or how you're influencing, you know, things around you, you're influencing yourself from that. And that drives results, or it drives the lack thereof.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like your hat there, Ahmed, you know, and it's a good symbolic representation too. Magic. You know, what is magic really? Magic is our ability to affect reality. Mm-hmm. And we can do that with our words. And then we can do that even more so when our words and our actions are in alignment. Yeah. You know, especially if they're in alignment with that, what I'm talking about, the generative process that all of reality is in. And if you're working against that, you know, that just doesn't make sense, right? You know, on a larger scale. So, you know, I think we need to go think of ourselves as magicians, and that confidence of knowing that we are doing the right thing, it brings a person to a whole nother attitude and place. The ability to put your face on camera and talk about natural law or what you really care about deep down, mm-hmm. or where you want to see the future going, it takes a certain, you know, public speaking is one of the things that scares people more than anything. And what is that? It's a lack of understanding your value. You don't think you're important enough to say anything in front of people because all these authoritarians have told you how little you are and how insignificant you are. And, you know, that's what we're trying to encourage people. Like, every voice is hell of important. Right. We need to hear your voice because you were put here for a reason. And I want to hear it, you know, whoever you are. You know, maybe we got to work through some problems. You know, we all got trauma because we've been indoctrinated, but we got to get past that, you know.
Yeah, and, you know, some people may say, well, you know, I found this voice in me, and now they have, like, this high horse-like ego, and they start developing a strong confidence in themselves. But are they helping other people to attain their own voice? Or are they trying to be the only voice in the scene, right? So then it's, like, the question of imbalance. It's like, oh, now somebody got past their stage of fright, but now they're using the fears of others so they can maintain their position. And, you know, there's different dynamics like that happening in our world. You mentioned talents. What if somebody thinks they don't have any talents? What if somebody thinks like, oh, well, man, I don't think I have any gifts to share with the world.
Yeah. And so many people have that thought process, right? And a bunch of other negative thoughts too, you know, and that when we're talking about self-work, that's really what it is. It's working through, you're starting to pay attention to the processes going through your mind and asking yourself, where are these thoughts coming from? Because I think if we really take time and analyze where those thoughts are coming from and go back in our life, this is something I've learned from Leslie Powers with the healing and trauma work. Usually there's something in our life that causes us to start devaluing ourselves in that way. And a relationship problem. Someone said rude things to us when we were young in school. They make you feel small. You know, you're standing in lines, looking at the back of each other's necks. You know, so if you're feeling that way, you don't know what your talent is. That's a real sure sign that you've got this work to do. And that means just being intensely honest, right? Which is the most difficult thing, and spending the time it takes to figure out why. Answer that question, why, until you're satisfied. Not because someone else says, oh, here's the answer, or some video said, here's the answer. You need to know within yourself. And that's the hard thing I think people get. It takes some time to really get to know yourself and to understand yourself, and it's not easy. It's a process. It involves work, you know, hard work, you know, yeah. Thinking and feeling it out and understanding what caused that in me. But I would say, people, you got to try things. A lot of times people, kids haven't had the opportunity to be exposed to painting or drawing or music or, you know, try some different things and you'll be surprised and amazed. You'll come across a certain thing that just really works. You're like, I didn't realize I was a green thumb. I'm great at growing plants, or I didn't know I was such a good writer, but now that I'm doing it, I love it and I feel good, you know. But if you don't try the different things, you're not going to know which thing like that lights you up. Wow. You know? So self-exploration is what I would recommend.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a beautiful message there. I mean, cause people in school, they might be taught certain things that they may even not want to learn about, you know. It's like, oh, I'm prompted into this family and they want me to have certain values, but I can't really get to self-express myself and find out what I really am passionate about and what works for me. And again, you know, you have this extreme on the other side of the society where it says, express yourself, keep expressing yourself, and, you know, and try to be like make yourself a moral victor out of it. You know, it's kind of an interesting victimization / opposite of that, you know, dominator complex that people fall themselves into, but people are unable to be simply themselves, right? They have to fall into some sort of identity, some sort of aim, some sort of goal or purpose. And it's like, I'm not against purpose and people finding purpose, but where do they find that purpose? Do they find that in the identity, in the material, in the consumerism, in the form that's not authentic, right? And I think you and I, we share this message of like life versus evil, nature versus unnatural. And I think this dynamic is a lot of people intuitively understand. I mean, people, we were talking about before how like people feel better just being in nature. So what's up with that? You know, is there a disconnect from nature? Is there a disconnect from life itself, right? It's very interesting. And I really appreciate your work. You're going to love the announcement we have for tomorrow. I'll tell you that. So if you stick around for tomorrow, I have several trailers for it. So you shouldn't miss it if you tune in at any particular time. But it's a really big announcement. And I think it goes along the work that, you know, you and I both do regarding all of that.
Right on.
Thank you, Chris. Is there any announcements for any like events or any projects that you're working on that you want to share with the audience and where they can find your work as well?
Yeah, I do have one real exciting thing. I've been meeting with the other organizers, and okay. We are talking really seriously about Funnel 4.
Ooh.
And we're looking at February right now, 2025. That's not set in stone yet, but Funnel 4 is coming. So if people want to check out freedomundernaturallaw.com, you can see the last three, Freedom Under Natural Law. All that is on that website. My website is endevil.life, and I really want to point people, my very last presentation is called Symbols of Nature and Nature of Symbols, and some of the stuff we're talking about right now are really hit hard in that presentation, so beautiful. I'd like people to check that out on my YouTube page or endevil.life, mm-hmm. And look at, especially, you know, the part we're talking about right now, the mirror, you know, is from The Neverending Story. The hero in that story has to pass through the second gate, which is the mirror. And the way I look at it, that's our self. And most people in the world can't get past their self and start working towards something bigger than just themselves.
Wow.
And that's what I mean with this End Evil podcast and with the Tree of Life, is that we are interconnected with everything around us. And that part of the process is to align ourselves with something we're doing that's greater than just our own self, you know? Yeah. And that's what pushes us through that second level of understanding to become, you know, kind of working on a higher vibration, you know? So, yeah.
Well, thank you, Chris, for coming on the show. I appreciate it, guys. EndEvil.life. You can find them on a lot of platforms as well. And I love the fact that you guys are doing the Freedom Under Natural Law Conference. For those of you guys who don't know, a lot of speakers, a lot of stuff that goes on for that as well. So always looking forward to that. Great stuff. Keep me posted, please. And you're always welcome to Florida, Chris. Anytime you want to go paddleboarding, I know that's something you love to do.
Oh, yeah.
So if you
want
to come
awesome.
Down to Florida, come on down. I'm ready. I'm ready to go
well,
right
thanks
now.
Thanks so much. And I love what you're doing, Corey. You are a hard-hitting, true speaker, and I really appreciate the energy you put out there and all the work you do, and proud to be a part of it. So thank you.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here with Ahmed, too. I mean, he's a great dude. I met in Florida.
Thanks,
he's
Ahmed.
Producing awesome content. I want you guys to all connect with each other, so we'll make sure that
awesome.
Happens. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Cool. Awesome stuff. Thank you, Chris, for joining us. Let's watch another clip here, Ahmed. What do you think?
I'm ready. Always.
Are you, though? Are you?
I got the knowledge, wisdom, understand it. Night, your work, learn your lesson. I got the knowledge, wisdom, understand it. Night, your work, learn your lesson. I got the knowledge, wisdom, understand it. Night, your work, learn your lesson.
Connect with it. The three-piece puzzle form.
Bring some awareness to the End of Slavery Summit that's being hosted by Corey Indrelit and Aaron Butler.
Universal moral law, the only law by which we're bound, and if we want freedom, we must accept what's objectively sown, and we collectively reap what we collectively sow. That's how it goes, that's why I put the truth forth in all I bring. What goes around comes around, likes, wrecks, natural laws.
Countering the rubric of slavery is one that usually entertains the bull and shackle.
Very easy to see, for human beings to see and recognize overt forms of slavery.
And I don't think there's a better tool than this.
It was really mind-blowing then, and who knows what they have nowadays.
People need to understand all this. That's why I'm here to expose all.
There's going
to
be all kinds of people needed.
The loudest voice is always going to, you know, water down everything.
A great evil preying on humanity.
I feel really bad for young people.
It bridged this gap where they don't think it's possible.
But that's still going on in our government schools.
Just the oath to protect. And you blew it.
You program those behaviors that are going to lead to slavery.
You don't have to physically put chains on them.
That parents need to go through from their own upbringing.
They want us to build a prison just for us.
These are people who are coming together to focus on solutions.
Open the door and free themselves with this knowledge.
There's something not quite right about the way things are going.
There's a lot of rewriting and layering of history.
It's intergenerational mind control.
To punch themselves in the fucking face over and over and over again.
What is like the underlying, most important root cause?
Makes a big difference in our physical well-being.
We were all forced to be a part of from our, you know, conception.
I'm OD'd on a hospital bed. How did this happen?
Trying to have discipline in our discernment.
These people don't want to have to admit themselves that.
There were things that I'd been taught to believe that I challenged. I didn't know what they meant.
One is much more likely to take action in the world if they have an internal locus of control.
The ethics that drove me, but it was the economics that pushed me over the line.
From the collective coma that everybody is in.
So much we don't know that we're supposed to know.
The way that they treated people and the way that they responded.
You know, we can do things a lot better than we're doing it now.
Didn't imagine that we could have been lied to on a massive scale.
We ease ourselves into it, and we really don't realize that we've done it.
Slave mindset for us, and then here we are trying to unyoke ourselves.
Without slavery, that we can finally do that.
I think that's the potential of where we lie right now.
Not arrive more slavery in the world.
Overtake what would otherwise stem from our hearts.
We have the choice to push the do-over button.
You ought to get unhooked.
then apply that to themselves and influence
the modern manifestation of slavery.
The End of Slavery Summit is a totally free and educational online event to learn everything you need to know in truly reclaiming your freedoms. From the untold knowledge to the unspoken action, you will learn from over 40 speakers.
And will we ever awaken your mind?
Hello and welcome. This is Corey Angelot. Welcome to the End of Slavery Summit. I'm here with Derek Bartolacelli.
I got gifts out of spiritual, from audio to visual.
We all know the problems of the world, but what are the solutions? We all know artificial intelligence is on the rise, but what about natural intelligence? We all know there are new things being introduced to humanity, but what has always been? We all know that there are people who make a difference in this world, but what about you? Natural intelligence, the technology of peace. Not the art of war, but the art of peace. Not simply the art, but the technology which creates all the art. A powerful and inspirational must-read book to change the world for generations to come. Featuring best-selling authors Marjorie Wildcraft and Joel Salatin, UFC world champion Pat Miletich, sustainability design leader McKinley Halati, organics industry leader Kevin Fretz, and successful land developer Rowdy Mayer. These individuals came together with their unique solutions and perspectives in the dire need to save our world from its current catastrophic problems. What are the world's biggest problems? Among them, we may say it is war, political corruption, scarcity, world hunger, food insecurity, mental illness, cancer, heart disease, infertility, environmental pollution and deforestation, poverty and unemployment, mass extinction, tyranny, and the rise of artificial intelligence. Jim Gale, who helped bring these individuals together, spent his life dedicated to answering one question, studying obsessively for 16 years, essentially boiling down to what is really going on, and how do we change the world and creatively catalyze an intentional shift in humanity? He found the answers when he studied notorious works throughout history and applied their wisdom to the present. Quote, "There is one thing stronger than all the armies in the world, and that is an idea whose time has come." This is a quote attributed to Victor Hugo. Well, what is the idea? Napoleon Hill told us, whatever the mind can conceive and believe, it can achieve. Was he wrong? Bill Mollison told us, though the problems of the world are increasingly complex, the solutions remain embarrassingly simple. Well, what are the embarrassingly simple solutions? You never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete. That's a quote from Buckminster Fuller. Well, what is the new model? Everybody does the best they can with what they got, based on all things considered. This is from Neuro-Linguistic Programming, or NLP. What is the best we can do, truly? Those who love peace must learn to organize as effectively as those who love war. Martin Luther King Jr. How do we organize to share an idea? Johnny Wolfgang Van Gogh said, none are more hopelessly enslaved than those who falsely believe they are free. Well, how could we know that we are free? Sun Tzu said, know thyself, know thy enemy. 1,000 battles, 1,000 victories. Well, who am I? Finally, Lao Tzu says, the spirit of the perennial spring is said to be immortal. She is called the mysterious one. Well, what do we truly serve? Jim found that there's one basic answer to all of these questions, but it does require strategy and mass awareness. Showing by example, Jim Gale met Corey Enderlot, among attracting many others who are leaders in respected fields. Athletes, film producers, talk show hosts, celebrities, world-renowned speakers and influencers, etc. Eventually leading to the creation of this collaborative great work known as Natural Intelligence, the Technology of Peace. It is time for you to help create the world's new marketplace, to carry on the evolution of mankind's destiny in all aspects of life, from freedom to food and medicine, to self-help and homesteading, to the economy and community, to science and technology, to development and construction, to off-grid living and preparedness, to love and faith, to peace and courage, to abundance and joy. Let's create the future where our children, their grandchildren, and their grandchildren in the generations to come can forever live and actually live.
When we perceive the ways of nature, we remove conflict within ourselves and discover a harmony of body and mind in accord with the flow of the universe.
Mm-hmm.